Okay. I want to touch a little bit. Yesterday, I was talking about how God does and does not speak to us, and I just didn't really have as much time as I would have liked to flesh that out. I want to give you an example. First, an overt example of the dangers of this, and then another example that's very, very common, and yet not nearly as seemingly not nearly as dangerous. It's not as obvious, but yet very, very dangerous. And we'll talk a little bit more about how God does and does not speak to us, because I think that is a profoundly, profoundly important issue, and it's something that is profoundly misunderstood among the vast majority of Christians, certainly professing Christians. So now, all these people who say that God has spoken to them, now if you think about it, whatever God says to people should be just as authoritative as any verse in Scripture. All these people saying, God spoke to me and He said, quote, da 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 da. God spoke to me, He told me to tell you that you need to do this. You need to go this direction. You need to take this job. God spoke to me, pastor, and He told me to tell you that our church needs to go this direction. We need to be doing this. Well, whatever God says, theoretically, should have just as much authority as any verse in this book, because God cannot speak less authoritatively on one occasion than He does on another. If God is speaking, God is speaking. And He cannot speak less authoritatively one occasion than He does on another. So whatever He says to people should be just as authoritative as John 3:16. And I don't think people really think through the implications of the things that they claim. Well, God spoke to me. Did He really? Okay, so we've got an open canon of Scripture. We've got an open canon of Scripture. And that is inevitably where the charismatic movement, the charismatic position, leads us. If you take the charismatic position, then we have got an open canon of Scripture. There is no way to avoid it. We've got an open canon of Scripture. I'll show you one example of, now this is rather brash, but it will give you an idea of what's going on. Jesse Duplantis said this in his magazine Voice of the Covenant. He said, "The Lord showed me a new way to look at Matthew 17, verse 20. Now, I have this word new highlighted because if you are reading the Bible and all of a sudden you think you have found a hidden meaning to a particular verse of Scripture that nobody else in the 2,000-year history of the Christian church has ever seen before except you, you're wrong. Okay? I don't mean it ugly, but you are wrong. So if you think you have found a hidden meaning that has escaped the attention of every other Christian for the last 2,000 years, you need to take another look at it. But that's what Jesse thought happened to him. Matthew 17, verse 20 is when Jesus is talking about having faith the size of a mustard seed. Jesse said, "He showed me that most people preach on the properties of the seed, but the Lord gave me a deeper understanding on this verse. When He told me, I put a dimension on the size of the mustard seed, but I did not put a dimension on the size of the mountain. I didn't understand," said Jesse. "Look," God explained, "I made sure you understood the dimension of the faith was small like a mustard seed, but I never set a limit on the size of the mountain. Why do you think I didn't set a limit on the size of the mountain, but limited faith to the size of a grain of mustard seed?" I still didn't have the answer. So here's God talking to Jesse, giving him new revelation, right? Well, here comes God's answer. "Because if you use any more, you'd blow me off my throne." Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But God told him this. And I would submit to you that the only one who's going to be blown off of his throne is Jesse Duplantis by God. This is why I said yesterday that these people are not Christians. You cannot be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and teach these kinds of blasphemies. It's just not possible. Now, that's brazen, right? Well, let me show you another example of God speaking to people that's probably not so obvious at first. In fact, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but my guess is that this book is probably in on some coffee tables here, maybe, you think? Probably not in this church as much as most others, because this is a doctrinally sound church, but Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. This is the hottest selling devotional book on the market. It is light years past anything else on the market today. It has sold millions upon millions of copies. Now, this is no ordinary devotional book, because Sarah Young claims that she has learned how to hear the voice of God, and she writes down what God says to her. Sarah Young was inspired by a book entitled God Calling. In fact, I'll show you an excerpt from Sarah Young's book. This is taken directly from the introduction of her book. She says, "During that same year, in 92, I began reading God Calling, a devotional book by two anonymous listeners. These women practiced waiting quietly in God's presence, pencils and papers in hand, recording the messages they received from Him. God Calling is indeed a book that was written by two anonymous female mystics. We don't know who they were, but it was written back in the 1930s. But these women claim to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's like they practice, and one day, all of a sudden, it's like they tuned in to just the right frequency. And when they got just the right frequency, all of a sudden, God started talking to them. And they would write down what He said. Sarah Young says this, "I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible, but I yearned for more." You see, the Bible just was not enough for Sarah Young. She had to have something more. You know, and we have theoretically, in theologically conservative circles, we have won the war over whether or not Scripture is inerrant. I mean, if you're going to be anybody in evangelicalism today, you're at least going to have to give lip service to the fact that, yes, I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. You'll at least, whether or not you really believe it, you'll at least have to give lip service. Where the war is being fought today, though, really, in a very practical sense, is God's Word sufficient? Is God's Word sufficient? And that war is being lost. We are losing that battle big time. Big time. The Bible is just not enough. It's not enough for people. God's Word is not enough. So we've got to hear all these, you know, the still small voice. We've got to hear these voices in our head that are supposedly from God. And there are books written about how to hear the voice of God. In fact, Bill Hybels has written a book on this entitled The Power of a Whisper. And he says, the more you practice hearing God's voice, he said, the better you become at it. He said, you can up your batting average on hearing God's voice. Sarah Young says this. She says, I decided to listen to God with pen in hand, writing down whatever I believed He was saying. Houston, we have a problem. So just like the ladies who wrote God Calling, Sarah Young claims that she too tuned in to just the right frequency, and when she hit just that right frequency, Jesus started talking to her, and with pen in hand, writing down what He said. And when you read this book, there's 365 devotionals, obviously one for each day of the year, and it's written in the first person for Jesus. I, Jesus, am such and such. I will do these things. It's written in the first person for Christ. Now, if that is true, if Jesus is really talking to her and she is writing down what He is saying, you know what she's doing? She's writing Scripture. That's what she's doing. She's writing Scripture. So whatever Jesus says to Sarah Young and she writes down should be just as authoritative as any verse in the Bible. So we should add it. We should add all 365 of these little devotionals. We should add every last one of them to this book. There's just one problem with that. This book says do not add to this book. And this devotional book is huge. And the fact that so many evangelicals and you know, they're just soaking this up. And it's you know, ladies, it's more popular with ladies than men, but still a lot of men read it too. Millions and millions of copies. It's a shocking, shocking lack of discernment among the church today. So, as I said yesterday, God is not speaking to us today in a direct, quotable sense outside of Scripture. He's not doing it. Now, that having been said, does God give us direction? Sure. Yes. You hear people say things like, well, God laid you on my heart. Can God do that? Can God lay somebody on our heart, you know, to use that terminology? Sure He can. You know, but I don't think we have a mechanism somewhere inside our heads to know exactly when it is that we know that God's the one doing that. You know, sometimes I'll think about, I'll think about a lot of people. I'll think about our kids, our grandkids. I'll think about, you know, some of my buddies back in Mississippi, or, you know, and I'll pray for them. Is that God making me think about them? I don't know. Possibly. Maybe not. You know, maybe I just happen to think, you know, one of my good friends that I grew up with named Chad. You know, I don't know. Maybe I just happen to think about Chad. Is that God bringing Chad to my remembrance? I don't know. But you see what I'm saying? We don't have a mechanism. There's not like some siren that goes off in our minds and, oh, okay, that's God. Okay, God, I got you. Thank you for that. No, we don't have anything like that. God can give us, people say, well, God gave me a burden for such and such. You know, can God do that? Sure He can. Sure He can. But do we have a mechanism to know exactly when that is God doing that? Or, you know, I don't think we do. Does God direct our paths? Absolutely. Absolutely He does. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. How does God do that? I don't have the foggiest idea. I just know He does. You know, God spoke the universe into existence. I think He can direct our paths. So I affirm all of these things. So yes, God can do these things. But God is not speaking today in a direct, quotable sense outside of Scripture. He is not doing that. Because if He were, then we would have an open canon of Scripture. And, you know, it's interesting. You look at practically every false religion out there, all of them have begun by an individual or a group of individuals saying, God has spoken. He's giving us something new. Let me tell you what He had to say. Mormonism began that way. Islam began that way. And so, I mean, the implications and the dangers of this are just incredible. And yet, most Christians today, at least most professing Christians today, think that it is normative, that it is normal that we should be hearing the voice of God, you know, the still small voice inside of our head somewhere. They think that's normal. That's that we should be doing that. No. No. Not at all. Not at all. So, I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Does anybody have any questions from yesterday? Something I said that maybe wasn't clear, or maybe you have a question about something that I didn't even talk about? So, anybody have any questions or comments? What you're describing, Maria, right? Mm-hmm. Maria, what you're describing, Maria, is absolutely what should be happening in your life. That you're exactly right. When you, as you so wonderfully put it, when you open the Bible and you read it and you say, you know, you see things and you learn and you believe that's God speaking to you, that is God speaking to you. That is exactly how He speaks to us. And that, so what you're describing is precisely what should be happening in all of our lives. So that's why I say, you know, if you want to hear God speak to you, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. Because that is you're exactly right. And God has brought you, graciously has brought you out of the deceptions that you were in, Catholicism, Pentecostalism. God saved my wife out of Catholicism. And so he has brought you out of that. And now when you read his word, you're learning about him. You're learning truth. You're growing. You're being sanctified. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And that is exactly how God speaks to us. There's a difference between illumination and revelation. You hear people say sometimes, well, I got revelation. No, you didn't. Because revelation is new information that is not recorded in Scripture. And God's not giving revelation anymore. God is providing illumination to us. And that is what you're describing, Maria. When we open the Bible and we read it and we understand the meaning, that is God illumining the meaning of his written word to us. When we understand what God's word is saying, he's illumining that meaning to our minds, to our hearts, and we understand what he's saying and we learn about him. That's illumination, and that should be happening in all of our lives. So you're exactly right. You're exactly right. So if I was a little unclear in how I worded, I apologize. But what you're describing is precisely what should be happening in our lives. Yep. Absolutely. Yes, sir. You're talking about the lady that I commended?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let me back up to my slide here. Yeah, I'll give you all a couple of ladies. Susan Heck with themaster.com. And as I said yesterday, she writes books. She writes Bible studies for ladies, and she teaches only ladies. She stays within the biblical parameters of the roles of men and women. She teaches only ladies. She will not teach men. And books, Bible studies, and she speaks at conferences. So if you can organize a women's conference and you need a speaker, Susan Heck would be an excellent one, probably the best one you could get. So withthemaster.com. Has everybody got that? Okay. And then yesterday I talked about my pastor, Jim Osmond, up in our little hole in the wall up in Sandpoint, Idaho. Truthorterritory.com. Really, really good book on spiritual warfare. And he takes all of these misconceptions of binding Satan, rebuking Satan, hedges of protection, territorial spirits, generational curses, spiritual mapping, and just cuts through all that clutter and says that is not what true spiritual warfare is about. That's not true spiritual warfare at all. True spiritual warfare is not a battle for territory. We're not trying to take back territory from Satan. It's a battle for truth. We're battling for the minds and hearts of men. We're not trying to do battle with demons and take back territory. No, it's a battle for truth. Really, really good book, truthorterritory.com. You know, I see this on TVN all the time. In fact, Kathy and I started watching this program. It comes on late at night on CTN, and it's hosted by this lady named Pastor Janet. Of course, that's a problem right off the get-go, right? Janet shouldn't be a pastor, but Pastor Janet. And she takes these call-ins, people call in with their prayer requests, and every prayer request, you know, whether somebody needs healing from cancer or they've lost their job or something, behind every calamity there's a demon. And so she binds these demons. She talks to the demons. Satan, I bind you, I break you, I sever you, and I command you to run, not walk, but to run into the lake of fire, bound in fetters and chains. And that's what she does all the time. And she's, a few nights ago, we heard her bind the demon of car wrecks. Somebody had a car wreck, and they called in for prayer for their car wreck, and she bound the demon of car wrecks. And you wonder, well, what did the demon of car wrecks do before cars were invented? Well, must have been a really dull life. So, you know, I mean, it's just a lot of nonsense. But yet, that's common. That's people think we're supposed to be binding Satan, casting out demons and all this stuff. No. So, really good book, truthofterritory.com. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's talking about how so many of these spiritual warfare experts talk about what's called spiritual mapping. You've got to map out territories and you find out what demons are over what particular city or region. And they're all, apparently demons are all assigned to different cities and regions. And so these spiritual warfare experts say that you've got to find out which demons are over which area, and you find out their names. Now, the way you get this information, because it's not in Scripture, of course. Now, get this. The way you get this information is you talk to the demons. You talk to the demons, and they tell you what their name is and where they're assigned. And so you map out all these demons, and you map them on the map. Okay, well, in fact, there's this one lady. She was an Hispanic lady. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she was... She apparently started talking to demons, and she got all of this information. All right, so the demons are organized in this hierarchy. There's 12 different levels, and there's the demon of Antonio. Antonio is over this region over here, and then there's another demon, Manuel. Manuel, that demon, he's over this region. It's interesting how... You know, this Hispanic lady talking to the demons, all the demons apparently, they had Hispanic names. You know, so it's just, you know, it's insanity. And you think, okay, so you're getting all this information that's not in Scripture, you're getting it from demons. Now, A, why would you take their word for it? Demons aren't exactly known for being truth tellers, right? So you're going to get your information from demons and assume that that's accurate information. And let's just say it was. So let's say Antonio is over, I don't know, use some local town. Let's say the demon of Antonio, he's over Globe, Arizona. He's been charged to you know, mess people up in Globe, Arizona. And then you've got Manuel, that demon. What's another town nearby? Miami. What? We'll go with Miami. So Manuel, he's assigned to Miami. Now, wouldn't you think if you somehow got this information and discovered it, even if it was accurate information, and so you start praying and binding the demon of Antonio, wouldn't you think once these demons figured out that you kind of that their gig is up, that all they would have to do is just switch places? You know, Manuel would go over where Antonio is, and Antonio would go over where Manuel is, and then you got to start the whole process again. You know, got to find out, all right, well, we've got to redraw the map now. So, you know, does that make any sense? So it's just, it's, yeah, the Satan is, you know, so we shouldn't be getting our theology from the father of lies. Yeah, so, are we out of time? One more, yes, sir.
Are there any good books
in that room? Oh, yeah, well, both of those are good. Crisis Christianity, The Agony of Deceit. There's Strange Fire, book by MacArthur, Strange Fire. That's, of course, excellent. That's the most current one on this issue. That's the most current one. I'm working on one myself entitled Clouds Without Water, and about halfway through it. And so that's a work in progress. So hopefully sometime within the next year, my book will be out. So, but it's not out yet. So is that kind of what you're talking about, just this issue? D.R. McConnell has written a book entitled A Different Gospel, and it's kind of old now. It's probably close to 20 years old, but it is a good book. He's got good information on it, A Different Gospel by McConnell. A little dated, but it's still accurate information. Those are the only ones I really... I guess those would be the ones that I would recommend on this topic. Yeah, well, that's in this book too, Truth or Territory. By the way, it's not in a hardback. It's just on Kindle. So you have to have Kindle. But if you have a smartphone or a computer or a iPad or whatever, get the Kindle app and you can download it on Kindle. It's only like $5. But he talks about the armor of God. He sure does. And he talks about how, you know, everybody thinks we've got to pray on each piece of the armor. In fact, there's a hymn. What is it? Yeah. What's the name of that hymn? Yeah, there's a hymn. Okay, yeah. That, each piece put on with prayer. So we think, okay, I've got to pray on the helmet of salvation. I've got to pray on my shield of faith, my sword of the Spirit. I've got to I've got to pray that my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Got to put on each piece of armor so I'll be fully equipped to go out and do battle. That's not what that passage is talking about at all. So he talks about that in his book, Truth and Territory. So, okay. Well, I was told we end at 10:45. Is that right? So we're a couple minutes over. But okay. John, do you want me to just dismiss in prayer? Let's close. Father, we do thank you for this time. Lord, it's always good to discuss your word and fellowship with believers. So I pray that this was a time that would, it was a benefit to those who are here. And again, Lord, we thank you for your sufficient word and that we are fully equipped for every good work to fully carry out your will for our lives through your word, empowered by your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.